Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord this morning and offer Him our praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. A special welcome, of course, as always, to those who may be joining with us on the live stream. It is good that we reach beyond the walls of this sanctuary, and indeed sometimes even beyond the boundaries of this city to bring God's word to those who join us. So a special welcome to you. Announcements for this week are in the bulletin, so please make note of that, including times for our special services as we look towards the Easter weekend. So do take a moment to look at all of those announcements. Additionally, the bulletin board on the hallway downstairs is just full of stuff, cards and greetings and information on the Gracefield Camp and Christian Center there for your perusal. So do take a moment to, as you're leaving worship in the lower level this morning, to take a look at the bulletin board and all that is contained therein. We have an insert for Easter lilies, or you can make provision via your regular offering means, whatever that might be. So please do that over the next week or so. The deadline for kind of giving us information for the Easter lilies is next Sunday. And finally, this morning, during the prayers of the people, we were praying for the congregation of St. Paul's Presbyterian Church in Winchester, one of our sister congregations here in the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry. St. Paul's, if you're not aware, is part of a three-point charge with Morewood and Chesterville, and they are anxiously awaiting a new minister who is coming to preach for the call. So there are some exciting things happening in their life in that regard. They also seek prayers today for successful establishment of a community garden that they project that they have been working on, a butterfly garden, and the wisdom for their board of managers as they look towards repairing their front steps. So a whole lot of stuff that are on their minds, but we will remember them in prayer this morning. And a couple of final brief announcements. The coffee hour today is being hosted by Trish Brown, so thank you, Trish. I saw it coming in. It looks great. Stay for coffee. Most notably, a very special happy birthday goes out to Clarice Neal, who will be celebrating her 99th birthday on Thursday, the 30th of March. And there is a card at the back that you can sign, and we certainly extend to Clarice our most happy wishes on her birthday. So we light the Christ candle as we come in to God's worship this morning as a visible reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world, and in Him we seek to place our feet and to walk in His ways. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and join our voices as we say the call to worship. From the deepest places in our lives, we cry to God.
God, hear my voice. Do not be far from me.
Let us not forget God's steadfast love and power to redeem.
We wait for God, and in God's word we find hope.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, great I am. You are resurrection and life. As we worship you this day, show us who we are, bearers of good news, messengers of resurrection. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we come in praise to God, singing the hymn that echoes around God's throne in heaven. Number 299, Holy, Holy, Holy. Friends, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Trusting in the Spirit of God, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screens. O Lord, if you held our sin against us, who could live? Who could stand? We seem to have more faith in death than hope in your promise of life. We seek peace through war and find security in weapons. We abandon the hungry, sick, and dying, and pursue wealth by making others poor. And even so, you love us. Still there is forgiveness with you. Therefore, we worship you. For you alone, O Lord, can save us from death and redeem us from our sin. Amen. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If Jesus Christ dwells in you, the Spirit of God will be your life, and the grace of God will be your righteousness. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing the hymn 674 in the Book of Praise, In the Bulb There Is a Flower, or as the words appear before you on the screen. Thank you. morning's questions for the young people and for those who aren't quite so young anymore is the question, what makes you worry? Right? What makes you worry? Because unfortunately, we all know worry, don't we? It might be starting at a new school. That can often be worrisome. All of a sudden, everything is strange and unfamiliar. Or maybe being picked for the elite team in whatever sport you play, or anticipating a big and important game and wanting to make sure that you perform just right. All those things cause us maybe to lie in our beds and not really sleep as well as we'd like to sleep. And then for those of us who are older, there are other worries too, aren't there? All kinds of things. New jobs. It's kind of like a new school, but just for adults. Other things that worry us in life. Nothing worried me more than the mortgage on when we bought our first house. That many zeros. I made reference to the Stephen Leacock poem a couple of weeks ago about his going to the bank and man, those zeros on that mortgage. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep for 6 weeks. It was just anxiety. We all have those things that bug us from time to time that cause us anxiety and worry. But we also have a God who hears us when we call out and offers us peace and security. And it's amazing sometimes what prayer can do. Often laying in bed when you're worried about something and you can't stop the worry in your mind, right? It kind of spins away like a little machine. But if you can break that spinning for a minute, if you can pause and pray, breathe deeply, and let God take the worry so that we can live our lives, then there we find blessing. As we look in our gospel lesson for this morning, we are going to read the story about Lazarus and Lazarus' illness, about his sisters and how they worried when he was ill. And so we can listen to some of the answers to worry and fear that we find in the scriptures this morning as you hear that passage read in a moment. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we wait for you, and in your word we trust. By the power of your Spirit, set our hearts and minds on the sources of life and peace. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Good morning. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 27. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." The Old Testament psalm is number 130, which will be on the screen. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than to wait for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him great power to redeem.
All its iniquities.
Let us now allow the Spirit to fully speak to us as we join in singing, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," hymn number 209 in the Book of Praise and on your screen.
continuing to read from the Gospel according to John. Reading John chapter 11, verses 28 to 53. Once more, let us listen for God's word to his people. When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had seen him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said to her, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." He did not say this on his own, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to put him to death. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lazarus is dead. Really dead. The author of the fourth gospel begins the retelling of this last of Jesus' signs, and he wants you to have no doubt that Lazarus is dead. Indeed, by the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 3 days. And Martha, ever the practical one, puts it, "There will be a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. In Jewish belief in Jesus' day, there was this thought that the spirit of the deceased lingered around the body for 3 days following death, until it was ushered into heaven by an angel. Therefore, on this, the fourth day, it is clear that all of the possibilities of Lazarus being resuscitated, that some spark of life within him might be rekindled, is completely gone. And yet, amidst all the delays and outside concerns that are raised in the text, that beginning of the section of John's Gospel, chapter 11, that Catalin read for us, we must not allow ourselves to be persuaded that God is, that Jesus is uncaring. Lazarus and Mary and Martha are Jesus' friends. On several occasions, Scripture records how Jesus and his disciples went to their house and stayed with them. They're true friends. And as Jesus encounters the two sisters, we're told that he has compassion with them as he speaks with them about the hope of new life. Jesus himself weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. And yet, we know there's something more than this going on in this episode. Jesus here uses the death of his friend to manifest this, the last sign that he performs in John's Gospel, that, and to declare that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That Jesus' authority is not limited to this life only, but that he shares with the Creator the ability to call forth life out of nothing. Truly, we have manifest before us the life-giving Jesus as he calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But there's more to this sign than just that. Were it that Jesus simply reawakened Lazarus' dead corpse, quickened it in some way, that might have been enough. But Jesus' declaration is not simply that he is the resurrection. And indeed, that may have been sufficient. But Jesus declares, I am the resurrection and life. The truth is that to encounter the one who has the power over life and death changes everything. As the story continues and Jesus moves closer and closer to his own persecution and his own death, Lazarus and his sister seem to become his traveling companions upon the road to the cross. It's Mary who anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume and wipes them with her hair at a meal hosted in Jesus' honor, all while Lazarus reclines upon Jesus' breast. Having encountered the life-giving Jesus, their lives have become ones totally consumed with adoration and with praise. And yet, for us as Christians, we cannot read the passage about the raising of Lazarus and not have our own minds drawn to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not to read a little bit forward into the text to that story that we know is yet to come. Like Lazarus, we know that we too will be raised from the dead by this life-giving Jesus, and that we too will enjoy resurrection life, ever singing God's praises and giving thanks for the great gift that we too might stand in the presence of God. We have been redeemed through the offering up of the life of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And yet, like Lazarus' tomb, Gethsemane's rock could not constrain God's power to give life. And in that is hope. In that, we need not fear death. for we know that resurrection life awaits us. Back in those early parts of this chapter, we hear the fear of the disciples, don't we? When Jesus says eventually, we're going to go to visit Lazarus and his sisters, Lazarus who is dead, all of a sudden the disciples become more concerned about Jesus' safety and their own. Lord, the authorities down there, they're trying to kill you, you know. It's not safe to go there. It may cost you his life. And then when Jesus finally does say, well, we're going, we hear the words of Thomas, then let us go too, that we will die with him. So certain were they of the danger that awaited them as they made this journey. As we turn our faces to Jerusalem, to the excitement of Palm Sunday next week, the compassionate teaching of Jesus on Monday, Thursday, and the great suffering of Good Friday. We often wonder, I think, how Jesus could so easily turn his eyes toward the cross. Jesus could endure all these things because he knew that death was not the end. He knew that he need not fear death. Likewise, each year we walk with Jesus toward the cross, knowing that the end of this journey is not death, but his life. That the life-giving Jesus will prevail. And as a result, there is nothing that we should fear. Interestingly, there's a little quirk in the liturgical calendar this year that reminds us of the hope of the gospel this morning. Yesterday was the day of Annunciation, the day in which we remember the visitation of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. It's 9 months before Christmas, by the way, in case you want to do the math. And as the angel appears to Mary, the angel says these words, "Do not be afraid, because God has a plan." The angel goes on to say these things, "For you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." We talk about this a lot during the season of Advent. Oddly enough, the other purple season of the church year. But suffice it to say here that all of the hopes of the people of God are encapsulated in the angel's proclamation to Mary at the Annunciation. That hope abides with them through faithfulness in their God. As we draw to the end of the Jesus story, it's good that we are reminded today that it is not a story of maliciousness or misfortune, but that God has a plan. And in life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is the working out of the salvation of the world. And therefore, like Lazarus, we too can rest in our Lord, giving praise to him for his life-giving power. For as we stand in the shadow of the cross, we behold the life-giving God. Amen. Without the breath of God, we are dry bones. And without the word of God, we are dust. with gratitude for all that we have experienced and all that we have heard, let us offer our lives to the Lord of all life as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Holy God, giver of life, we thank you for raising us up and joining us together as one people, your people, flesh and bone in the body of Christ. As you have delivered us from death, use our lives to proclaim the good news of new life in Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving, this day and forevermore. Amen. Quick appeals before the prayers of the people. I forgot a couple of simple requests during the announcement time. As we prepare for the Holy Week services, I'm looking for three things. I'm looking for a large earthenware jar. I'm looking for a large clear glass bowl for Monday, Thursday, and for Good Friday, I'm looking for readers. If you can help me with any of those three things, I would be grateful. Let us once more come before our God as we pray together. Gracious God, you rob death of its sting. You cause graves to set free their captives. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, you sent forth in Christ, our mortal lives are aflame with your presence and redeemed by your love. you hear the voice of our supplications, inclining your ear to our need. We give you thanks for your indulgence, your kindness, and your care. We own our lives to your righteous salvation in the gift of your Son. We are the people of your compassion, your judgment, and your justice. And you are our God, and we give you praise, praise that is due your holy name. Hear our prayer this day for those bones that have become brittle and dry. We pray for the aging, for those in our midst whose movements are not so swift as they once were. May the breath of life that you give them be for us all an abiding source of inspiration and wisdom. Give to us patience to listen to what they say, and may our presence be for them a comfort as they meet each new day. Hear our prayer for those whose muscles lack sinew and is no longer pliable or tight. We pray for the lazy and those who are overly cautious when called to act. Give to them a discipline that will train them in faith. And may we show them a boldness tempered with patience and care. Hear our prayer for those whose flesh is different from ours because of pigment or race. We pray for sisters and brothers from across the whole worldwide family of faith, that they may add to the rich tapestry that is Christ's church. And especially today, we pray for the people of Malawi as they seek to rebuild their lives after recent storms and flooding. May they be assured of your presence and experience your peace. Assemble our diverse gifts in a vivid display of our common baptism in Christ Jesus our Lord, and set ablaze the unity of our witness with the Holy Spirit who binds us all as one. Today we pray for the congregation of St. Paul's Winchester, and we ask your guidance upon them as they embark on new ministry initiatives. Grant them success as they begin their community garden project, and bless their efforts to care for your creation through the establishment of a butterfly garden. So breathe upon us all, O breath of God, and fill us with life anew that we may love what you have loved and do what you would do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is number 607 in the Book of Praise. Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones, hymn number 607.
Thank you.
dry bones and live. Come out, Lazarus, and give glory to God. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, bless and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen.